Good evening. We continue with our series based on the book of Psalms. And today we continue with Psalm 119. With Magnus, we say it's 22 weeks if we want to cover the whole Psalm. And today our verses are from verses 25 to 32. And it seems to me that this short section of this psalm is about the power of God's word. The power of God's word. And this is a beautiful poem. The psalm is a beautiful poem about the love for the word of God. In this section or stanza or this verses, this section is devoted to the Hebrew letter Dalef. And maybe we can divide it very simply, you know, into three sections. Verse 25 speaks about the psalmist's condition and petition. So is the section is with letter D. So the first part of this section is about depression. The psalmist is depressed. Is down, is low. So that's the first section. The next one is verses 26 to 29. There is a confession. There is a prayer. So we can say perhaps that letter D, devotion. The psalmist goes to God as a devoted person and confess. And finally, the third one is there is a resolution. Stand for letter D, determination. You know, and dependence. They say, well, this is what I'm going to do. And you see, tonight we are going to just very briefly to reflect upon these beautiful words. Psalm 119, verses 25 to 32. But let us pray before we explore these beautiful verses from Psalm 119. Heavenly Father, we want to hear your voice. We come to the one who is faithful. We come to the one who loves us so much. We come to the one who gives us strength. So, Father, as we read your word this evening, may your Holy Spirit help us to receive something new and beautiful because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, first of all, the psalmist is depressed. That's his condition. The psalmist says, my soul clings to the dust. What a picture, isn't it? You know, so you want me to demonstrate how he, you know, yeah, that kind of picture. He is down there, and my soul is clinging to the dust. And when we look at this verse, there we have many possibilities, or perhaps two. Some scholar says he realized his sinful nature. And he said, well, what I want to do, I cannot do. I end up disobeying you. So he feels low before the presence of God. Other scholars say, well, it's about his enemies. He's against the wall. He's so many things around. And he feels low. Do you feel low sometimes? I feel low sometimes. You know, your presence from all over the place. And I'm a little bit weary when people, you know, sometimes people say, how are you? Fine. You know, we say, yes. And it's all right to feel sometimes that way. Because that's the psalmist is honest. My soul clings to the dust. Whatever is the reason, that is his reality. Either approach is valid. And it could even be that some of the both of these aspects were present. Okay, he knows that he's a sinner and now he knows he has problems and he feels inadequate. But what we find here is that he's not dwelling on these thoughts, but understand where he needs to go for deliverance. Look what he says in the second part of verse 25. Let's read together the second part. It says, preserve my life according to your word. He doesn't stop there. Say, Lord, he knows that he has to go to the Lord because he knows the power that lies in the word of God. I am down, but I go to you. He says, the New King James Version, it's good for you when we are studying the Bible. You know, you put on your table many translations. The New King James Version used these words. They said, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Revive me according to your word. The psalmist prayed for revival. I feel down. I want to feel better. Do I have to go to the pub? Do I have to take some drugs to feel better? Do I have to you know what I'm talking about? The psalmist says, yeah, I feel low. Preserve my life, revive my life according to your word. And again, you know, now get another translation. The King James Version says, quicken, which means save me alive, restore life to me or revive me. You know, it's good if you try to unpack, put the translations, yes, here, there, okay, and then we can find what's going on. And now there is a Bible commentator who says that this phrase, quicken, occurs 9 times only in this psalm. So that means that God wants to tell us something about it. And now it's of great importance, as it expresses the spiritual change by which a child of Adam, you know, any human being, that's what he's trying to say, becomes a child of God. Its source is God. The instrument by which it is affected is the word of God. What I want. Not therapy. I'm going to do yoga to feel better. I'm going to try this therapy. You can try it, but the psalmist understands where lies the power. Preserve my life according to your word. The word of God is the first thing by which conscience is purified. You go to the word of God, something has to happen. You know, sometimes we feel, you know, I am unworthy, Lord. I don't know if you can forgive these sins. Yes, he can forgive that sin. If we repent, there is power in the word of God. We are in the state of despair. Our heart and mind wants to focus on the despair and depression, but the word of God brings our focus back to where it needs to be. Some people, you know, anything can get you down. Oh, God. Some people, I am a little bit fat. I'm a little bit short. I am too tall. I am too dark. I am too white. What? We are never happy. Have you noticed that? And you go to the word of God and said that you and me have been wonderful made, that you are special. So I walk through the street and say, oh, what a beauty. Nobody else is like me. Nobody else is like Lawrence. So it's one Lawrence. And he destroyed the pattern. It's only one. You see, that's the word of God. So I don't care if I was on, over the weekend and I saw a friend. Oh, friend, you are a little bit fat. Praise the Lord. You see, and somebody said, oh, you have more white hair. Praise the Lord. You see the point? But people get depressed for that. We have the right to be like that. But we need to remember where we need to go, like the psalmist. Now, the second thing is there is a confession, a prayer. Verses 26 to 29. These verses contain this confession, this prayer. And this is like, the picture is like, you know, when you feel unwell, you go to your GP and to the doctor, you tell him or her everything. Or not. If you want to get well, you know, I have this headache here or something like that. You know why? Because you trust. So you better make sure that you have a good GP so you can trust him or her. Because it's only then that he can or she can do something. It's the same with God. The moment we confess, He can do something about it. The psalmist goes and confesses everything. That is what verse 26 starts this section. Says, I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Open confession is good for the soul. Don't save it. Go to the Lord and be honest. God, I am struggling with this addiction. God, I am struggling with this feeling of pride or prejudice or lust. Go and tell him. This morning we have a communion. I told, come on, confess, surrender to God. Believe me, you know, he will heal you. Do you believe that? He will change you. That's what the psalmist is doing. He confesses. The psalmist realized that the word of God has the power to answer. And he says, God, I give account and you answer me. I have told you my ways. I have confessed. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your decrees. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to hear your voice. In the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, says, all the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions and righteousness. The moment we come to God, we say, God, I want to learn. I want you to teach me. There are things in the Bible that we struggle with. With Magnus, we were saying, we were preparing the music, and we said to sing this song. We sang this song this morning. I don't know, maybe you're, I surrender all. It's hard to sing that, isn't it? But we are singing that. And there are things in the Bible, sometimes we want all the scripture. And there are now theologians that say, well, you know what? We can leave that one side. We are living in the 21st century. All the scripture. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He wants to know more. He wants to understand more. He's not repeating. He really wants. He's like a greedy person. You know, greedy people, they have money and they want to have more money. They have property and they want more property. It's like a, they never satisfies. That is the picture that David is saying here. And one scholar says, the world is like a deep, deep mine. And jewels rich and rare are hidden in its unfathomed depths for every searcher there. So you start looking, okay, this is what the Bible says about my situation, about what is happening. You search and search. And David says, cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. What a wonderful thing. He just wants to search and search. The Hebrew word used here means to study, to ponder. I want to, you are searching. Just search. This morning I was preaching and somebody after the service showed me his Bible, like my Bible, writing all over the place, and said, look what I realized years ago. And it was something that I was saying this morning. And that touched my heart because he is unpacking. And I want, but he mentioned a couple of more words. You know what? I'm going to use that next time I preach this sermon. I said, I'm going to, oh, that's okay. You know, you are searching. You are searching. You don't try to delete things from the Bible. No, you are searching. And then it's like a person who tried to find more and more because you try to understand. David says, you are the instructor. I am just a student. Have you heard sometimes people say, God gave me this verse, and then that verse has so much power? You know why? Because we allow God the instructor to tell us how to act, what to do. And David says, tell me. Now, but here there is something interesting in verse 28. Shall we read together verse 28? Because this is something when he now unpacks more about his condition. Let's read together. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strength. The psalmist is sad. Another translation says, my soul melts, drops from heaviness. The picture suggests he's depressed. But he says, he prays, strengthen me, set me up. Not because I'm going to do yoga or a therapy. According to your word. According to your word. Life can be dark in a lonely place. Sometimes I've talked to people who, particular, sometimes some people are in addiction, and it's a dark place, and sometimes I try to help, you know, God has given me opportunity to talk to young people who are in a very dark place with addiction. It's very hard. Sometimes we can be in dark places. But 4 years ago, somebody rang me and said, Pastor Friday, can you help? And said, well, what's it? Said, can you visit this lady? And they said, okay, I can go. And said, well, she's going through tough times. And she's Catholic, and she goes to the local Catholic church, but she would love to see you. All right, I said. And she told me a terrible story. Terrible story, what's happening to her. At this lovely, lovely sister. Lovely sister. Very spiritual. She helped the local Catholic church. Her daughter-in-law then have taken everything from her. House, savings. It was a horrible story. Now she divorced her son. But you know what? I was delighted to come and see her almost every 2 weeks. I will sit with her. We will read the word. And gradually, she started reading the Psalms and reciting the Psalms. And I will go, I was supposed to encourage her. I was encouraged. You know, I was on the phone with her yesterday. And she was encouraging me. You know why? Because of what? The word. My lovely sister. And she prayed for me. And I said, don't come to church. Just keep on going to. So Father Martin's going to be mad at me. I said, stay there. And she said, he knows, I see you. What I'm trying to say, my friends, out of tribulation, new understanding and strength will arise. You see, the psalmist expressed his trust and conviction that God will strengthen him through. And the psalmist is determined to obey. My friend, this lovely lady, she's a strong, she has so many issues, but she encouraged me. Every time I speak to her, she's praying for me, maybe right now, for me to preach. Because she trusts in the word. Yes, express your despair to the Lord, but don't stop there, my friend. Don't be there. Ask him for mercy and strength. Commit to obey him. Cling to his promises in the scriptures. He will be faithful. We were singing, God is faithful. He will be faithful to see you through any trial. Do you believe that? I believe that. We as a family are going through trials, but we know God is working. And he has a wonderful plan for us. God has a wonderful plan for you. Trust his word. My friends, verse 29 suggests the reason why he is low. Verse 29 says, keep me from deceitful ways, be gracious to me, and teach me your law. Deceitful ways. The Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, deceitful ways are ways that seem right, but lead to death. Lying, it may be the way of the enemies has attacked him. We don't know what's going on, but he says, I have been deceived. But he said, but be gracious to me and teach me your law. What are the deceitful ways? Well, Matthew Henry says, the true born child of heaven, you know, somebody who really trusts in the Lord, cries out against a lie desiring to have it taken away as much as a man desires to be set a distance from a dangerous serpent or a raging lion. You know that when you see a lie, if you are a child of God, you know that's a lie. I want to be away from that. I don't want to be associated with that. I want to run away from that. That is the picture here. And the king, David saying, please keep me away from a deceitful way. What are deceitful ways in 2019 here in Bangor? Well, erroneous view of doctrine, false grounds of faith, false prophets or preachers. We turn the TV and we have prosperity gospel going on. And so many things. Deceitful ways. But I love languages. You know, sometimes you say something and you say, well, that doesn't mean, that's not the meaning exactly. You know, let's pay attention. Let's go back to the King James Version. Look what the King James Version says. Remove from me the way of lying. Sometimes we read it and he says this, remove from me the way of lying. Not remove me from, but remove from me. You know why? Because the way of lying is within him. The way of lying is within us. And we are going to suffer. Sometimes we allow false teaching to come into us, wrong teaching into our life. And our deliverance from the way of lying lies in the word of God. Hence the importance that whenever we are, we need to have a sound teaching from this precious book. It's dangerous, my friends. Jesus Christ says that it's the word. When he prayed, this morning we talk about John 17. In the prayer, he mentioned this. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth, your word is the truth. So if I apply this in my life, if you apply this in your life, you are going to be holy. God's truth is what we all need to restore our life. Period. Now, lying and half-truth are stealing our culture. Don't you believe that? You know, which is more dangerous? A half-truth or a lie? A half-truth, without doubt. John F. Kennedy says this, the enemy of the truth is very often not the lie deliberate. No, this is a lie. No, that is not, or contrived and dishonest. That's not the worst enemy. But the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. That is dangerous. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Let me give you an example. People says, oh, at heart, everyone is basically good. Nobody needs to be a Christian to be good. They are good people. Half. Do you believe that? So what happened is, why to preach the gospel? Everyone is good. They don't need to go to church. Half truth. They are good people outside. The world is getting better. Now we live in a better society. Now there is human rights. Now we have activists everywhere, you know, flagging a flag or whatever. Now we are living in a better world. Is that true? Well, theological progress, technological progress is the key to our happiness and well-being. Yes, we use our mobiles. We depend on our, I am more guilty than anybody else, you know. Sometimes even I see people 95 years old. I admire that. You see, we depend, nothing wrong with that. Exactly. No, but what I try to say is half truth. That is what the psalmist is saying. My Lord, remove from me the way of lying. You know, when you start studying, when I was in Ecuador, in university, people try to deliberate, about being liberal, and this theology was coming. And sometimes I used to read, but now the other day I was reading one quotation of some of these preachers, and he says, the most powerful message for the world is love. Half truth. What is the most powerful message for the world? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You see? And then when I was a younger, oh yes. Oh. Now I said, wait a minute. This is what the psalmist is saying. And finally, there is a resolution, just to conclude this evening. Verses 30 to 32. As David despised the way of lying, so he chose the way of truth. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your ways. A person must choose one of the other, for there cannot be any neutrality. You know, in the case, people do not drop into the right way by chance. They must choose. I have to choose. I have to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow you, God. I have chosen. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart in your laws. The choosing Christian is likely to be a sticking Christian. You stay there. Like my dear sister, she stayed there. Say, Freddie, one day I will go to be with my Lord, and he will make me justice. But I have chosen to carry on. She humbles me. That's what the psalmist is doing. He have chosen. Look at verse 32. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Let me tell you something. So I'm going to do. Look how he starts. Where he starts? Lying on the floor. I told you I was going to do it. That is David. Then he's depressed, but he is devoted and he starts to pray. Verse 26. And then he said, I'm going to walk with you. He shows his devotion. He starts walking. But now he have the determination. How he's doing now? He's running. I will not run. He's running, not walking, not crawling, but running in the way of God. Do you get the picture? My friends, when we confess our sinful nature to God, he will forgive us. This is his promise in Jesus Christ on the Calvary. We can now, we have complete redemption. We are submit. We bow our knees in the morning. Bow your knees. Pray. And then crawl. Say, God, I want you to help me. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on walking. You will be running. And then you will be flying. I saw Marianne on Saturday, and she told me how when she was younger, they helped, you know, with seven others to plant a church. And we read one verse we're going to read later, you know, from Isaiah. When we do that, we renew our strength, and we are going to fly. My friends, as I conclude this evening, this is the way to revival. How do you feel? You feel broken? The year hasn't been good? Confess your sins. You feel down? Be devoted to God. Be resolute. The words of these psalms give me encouragement. I hope give you encouragement. When our soul clings to the dust, we can revive according to the word. When our soul is full of sorrow, we can be strengthened by his word. When we are threatened by deceit, we can follow the truth of his word. Our heart can be enlarged and be free. Are life demands overwhelming you? If so, you can find hope and guidance, strength and power in the word of God. not in a religion, in the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for these beautiful words. Thank you for the psalmist. Thank you for David. And he was honest to you. Help us to be honest to you. I pray for my friend listening to these words, this person who is struggling, that he or she will be able to confess. And then we'll be able to be determined to follow you, to walk with you, to run with you, to fly with you. It is well with my soul. It is well with you, soul. It is well with our soul when we depend on you. So help us, Lord, this new year to depend on you, knowing that you hear our prayers because we come. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.